Muslims, it's the most important 2 days on Tuesday and Wednesday, Eid Mubarak. I'm not going to be here, being of the Muslim persuasion. But if you guys want a program, I'm happy to set up a program for you, for the rest of you, for the, particularly the Christians, to work on that day if they have to work. But if you're happy not to work on that day, I'm also happy to move those on. Then the week after that, I understand now, is a committee week and not plenary. And we've been told that the first 3 days of that week is this consultative conference on the MDGs. It's been my view to the people that have organized this that our whole committee should be invited. But I think they've told us that the chair is fine, is it? Remember you were going to attend the other meeting last Friday and Saturday. And that didn't materialize. So I don't know who the five are, but if there are any others over and above the five that want to go also to their, to that consultant, let me know and I'll try and see if we can make interventions on your behalf. I think it's going to be, I don't know how it's been arranged and so on, because yesterday I told Mr. Frulich that whatever they put in that report on water and environment, that did not come through me. So remember, we called meetings on the MDGs. We had very nice input. In fact, we now, well, one nice input, the other one was terrible. And they've now, and they now come back today to give us an update on the terrible input. But the point is, those, so I don't know what they drafted, because they haven't gone through me. I told him that yesterday. He said, no, it should have gone through. I said, well, it's not come through. But in any case, I think it's a hell of an important seminar, because it's really, if you're there, you'll really know to what extent South Africa is meeting its Millennium Development Goals. So those 3 days will be for that. I then hope to have on the Thursday, I want to still speak to water, but because things have changed now, on the Thursday and probably the Friday, to do that progress report on acid mine draining. Remember we said that it's come early in August. This will be September, so it's given them some time. So I want to try and see if we can do that. And then I suggested to the Minister of the Planning Commission that we can take, should take their input. He's agreed that they should come on the week of the 13th and 14th, because they would have been on the 30th and 31st. So to move there, I still need to get a final answer from it. So I will be able to give you that report. The last week of the term, they've now sent me to Geneva again to that WTO. So we'll see if there's any other issues we want to follow up with you guys. But I won't be here that week. I'm also starting to look at the program for the fourth term, because you know there's a whole lot of weeks they set aside to do a BRRR report. You know, you look at the annual reports, they should come out at the end of September. In my own view, that's a complete waste of time. But as far as we don't have much to do, we can just as well waste our time on the annual report. Because the problem that I have, and I keep raising with people, with a money bill, is that we've already adopted the budget in June. We've adopted the budget. For now, for us to come and do further reports on the budget at the end of the year makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But because they've set these things, it's like set in rock, we'll go through the processes. It may help us, but just as you know, I personally don't put a lot of store by it, because our budget has already been adopted. And the whole country's budget has been adopted. To come and do things in hindsight, and just because we put it in the money bill, that annual reports must be in September, just makes no sense. But we'll go through those processes. So I will try and get you a more updated program for the year. Just bear in mind, these things change literally on a weekly basis. So not through our doing. Also, just to say welcome to Adam Matthews, who's here from Globe. Adam and one of his MPs have been here. They briefed the steering committee yesterday and so on about obviously the Globe conference towards the end of the year. I've also given some of my views to them what we should be doing in Globe. So hopefully Adam will have some further contact with you. Adam, they wanted to give an input here, but because the meeting was cancelled yesterday and so on, we have not been able to accommodate them to the department. We've been waiting with these people for some time. But welcome, and we hope to have further working to with you. Good evening, Mr. Huang, Dr. Huang and Mr. Scorsone. Nice of you to join us just before lunch.
Good evening, yeah.
Just before lunch, it's very nice of the two of you to join us. At least you can have lunch with us. You'll be lucky. All right, we have three inputs today. The first one is this one. So it'll probably take us a day. Remember, the department is in the process of drafting the second outlook. We've already expressed our views on the oversight on the procedures and how that is to be done, but we also felt that we need to take an input to see in 2006 what was our state of our environment. So that will be the first input. The second input is the report on the MDGs, which they didn't do too well. And they've done an update and they've come to present if we have time on that. And the third one is this report we've received, the compliance report. Although they tell me there's an updated one, the 10-11, but they haven't yet, it hasn't yet been approved and so on. So what they're going to give us is the information on 10-11, but obviously do it on a basis that it's not yet final. It's really tentative, if you understand what I'm saying. Just so that we have an updated, but I'm not sure if we'll even get there. If we don't, we'll have to do it at some other stage. So those are the three reports we're going to do. Welcome to the department. Sorry we've got this terrible room that we all have to sit like this. But the first one we want to see is the environment outlook. I don't know how much detail you've done it, so we'll see as we go along. If it's too much detail, we'll probably skip some things, but you just go ahead with your input, okay? Ms. McCourt? Sorry, is there anything anyone wants to raise before we start? No? Okay, you can start.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The team that we have here is, you know, Wednesdays is cluster days in preparation for cabinet committees. So unfortunately, the chief director responsible for the outlook and for the MDGs has to be before cluster today in terms of the national strategy for sustainable development, which I think is also something that we should brief the committee on on a future occasion. The second apology that I want to make is for Dr. Pretorius, who has been booked up with pneumonia, and he is actually our expert that was responsible for this work the previous round. But Anna is totally on top of it, and I will ask her to do the presentation. Thanks. She's the director responsible for Standard Environment Reporting and Environmental Statistics.
Thank you, COO. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, ladies and gentlemen. I will quickly do a brief introduction in terms of the state of the environment report. We are now calling it South Africa Environment Outlook simply because it does have the component of the outlook in it. It's no longer just the state of the environment report, and hence I have the South Africa Environment Outlook in the following. My presentation outline, the focus will just be on the content of the 206 report, nothing updated. As Honourable Chair indicated, that we are in the process of developing the new report, which will be released in 2013. So the 2013 report will then reflect the new trends and status, but this presentation is mainly on what was the current status and the trends by 2006 when we released the report. So basically, I'm going to touch on the main messages that came out after the analysis of the country's environment, then also looking at the status and the trends in terms of the blue issues, the brown issues, the biodiversity and ecosystem, and some leveraging points that came out of after the analysis, what are the things that we can do as a country to improve the state of our environment. And I'm also going to touch a bit on the impact study in terms of the report itself, whether the report is making the desired impact that we thought it will make. I just thought maybe it's just proper to look at the global view in terms of the environmental assessment. basically trying to look at how, as a country, our state of the environment do link with what the global assessment are indicating. And I just listed some few assessments that are done globally. We do have the process under the UNEP where we also compile the global environment outlook. So we're doing the same for the national, but it's in line with the global reporting. We also have the similar initiative at the Africa level. And we're also trying to bring the youth on board in terms of what the state of the environment of the globe and also in the country. We also do have the outreach report for the youth in South Africa. Then we also have the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment that I will talk about in my next slide. And we also have the national assessment that we're doing beyond the state of the environment report. We do have the national special biodiversity assessment. We do the state of rivers, just to try to understand the health of our rivers in the country. We also do the state of coast, the state of air, to understand the state of our air in the country.
These other national assessments, are there reports on them as well?
Yes, Mr. President, there are reports on all of them.
I don't know why this committee doesn't have copies. I keep saying it. If there are reports done in the department, they must immediately be brought to the committee. I mean, how do we know what you're doing, and even some good work you're doing, and how do we know if we want to have inputs on that if we don't know that they exist? I mean, until now, I didn't know these reports exist. So you guys must, when you get reports approved by the minister, immediately send it to this committee or to Parliament. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Honourable Chair, we will make copies available for the members. And maybe also to indicate the fact that the assessment is also done at the provincial level. We also have provincial state of the environment reports, and we also have the local state of the environment report. So we're not only at the national level, but we're cascading the initiative to the provincial and the local government. Maybe just to set the scene in terms of the global trends as a result of the assessment that I mentioned in my earlier slide. The Millennium Ecosystem Assessment indicated that 60% of the ecosystem services are being degraded. So as a result, we also trying to respond to some of the findings that were outlined in this assessment. The assessment also confirmed that environmental degradation and the loss of ecosystem services is a barrier to the international agreed development goals, and I think this will be clarified when one presents on the MDGs, because if then the environment is degrading, somehow then achieving the development goals will be a challenge globally, not only for South Africa. And then also we had the global desert outlook, where it talks about the drought, indicating that the drought episodes are projected to become even more intense. And I guess this is as a result of the climate change challenges that we're facing as a globally. And then we also have the biodiversity. We know that the biodiversity is crucial as part of the sustainable development, environmental management. And the global assessment, the global biodiversity outlook confirmed by the time in 2006 that the biodiversity is being lost at all levels. And hence, also for South Africa, it is a priority to make sure that we have policies in place that talk to the biodiversity loss. Basically, then, the central message that came from the global assessment was that there is definitely environmental degradation and the loss of ecosystem services. And as a result, the work that we're trying to do is trying to address what are the issues that we can do in order for us to assist the environment, to assist us in surviving and even for our future generation. And just to confirm the fact that there is no quick fix in terms of the environmental issues. And then now when we take it to the national level, the South African context, I think honorable members are aware that the first national state of the environment report was released in 1999. And then after that, that's when then we had a couple of provincial reports released and the municipal reports released. The sectoral reports are the ones that I mentioned in my first slide, where I talked about the state of air report, the state of rivers report. So the 1999 report was basically an introduction to then understanding the broader picture in terms of how our state of the environment in the country looked like. And then the department decided to look into the sectorial and say, let's zoom into the air and try and understand what is the status of the air, what is the status of our rivers. And basically the purpose of this report is just to provide environmental information for our decision makers, for our policy makers, the public, the media. We are responding to the Constitution. The Constitution do says that we need to make the information available. And also our NEMA, the Section 31, talks about making that information available. And hence we're doing all these reports, trying to do the analysis and present it in a manner that then your target audience, which are your policy decision makers, your learners, your youth, will be better understanding what our challenges are in the country in terms of environmental management or sustainable development. Then zooming into the 206 report itself, when we compiled the report, we used the latest information that was available by the time, and the information that was used or that was reflected in the report was the info that was available up until March 2006. Obviously, we do have challenges in terms of environmental data in the country. We couldn't get enough information in terms of the carbon emissions, the air quality, the information on waste, the land degradation. And I think when I also do the presentation on the MDG, then members will be able to understand in terms of when we report through the MDG cycle in the previous year, the challenges that we experienced around the four bullets that I just referred to. But also to acknowledge the fact that we do have the South African statistics, the Statistics South Africa, which makes the social and economic statistics readily available for us, and which is the information that we confidently say that it is certified information that we can use to do the analysis and the interpretation of what we're talking about within the report. So we used most of the information that we received from the South Africa, Statistics South Africa. And then this is just a slide to try and highlight some of the information sources that we used when we compiled the 2006 report. We literally looked at the recent national assessment that was done by this year. Like I indicated, that the latest info was March 2006. So we looked at what is it that was available at the time. And these are the list of the resources that we used to try and understand or do the analysis of the state of the environment. I am not going to go through the list if members do not mind, but these are just the list of those reports or the analysis that were done that informed the state of the environment report. I think the state of the environment, it does depict the negative in terms of, is the state getting worse or is it getting better? But we also felt that it's also important to draw the encouragement in terms of trying to say, what are the positive things that we got to understand when we did the analysis in terms of the state of the environment, the driving forces and the pressures. And I'm just going to quickly highlight some few main positives that were realized when we did the analysis. We realized that as a country, there is a significant progress in terms of areas of environmental management. Obviously, we had laws and strategies since the release of the 1999 report. We had some key strategies developed focusing on the areas of biodiversity, air protected areas. And we also find that there are efforts in implementing or enforcing policy framework since the release of the 1999 report. And for us, that was a positive step. And also, in some areas, we noted that there were some improving environmental conditions, even though on certain areas we realized that there were some challenges, but definitely on the other areas. I will highlight that when I do the trends and the status. And Also, we find out that there are programs that talk to the rehabilitation of the ecosystems that assisted the country in creating jobs, like your Working For programs that look in terms of the what are the things that we can do to rehabilitate our ecosystem, but on the other hand, we are creating jobs. So for us, as a country, we feel that that's a positive thing that came out of the analysis as well. And the fact that we, as a country, we managed to hold the World Summit on Sustainable Development in 2002, I guess it talks to the bullet that talks about the commitment as a country in trying to make sure that we're tackling the environmental issues that we're facing globally. And as I indicated, there is an increased attention in terms of environmental fiscal reform. We're talking about the cleaner production. We're talking about energy efficiency. And then for us as a country, we're saying at least we are doing something in terms of moving forward. But as I also indicated, for as much as there are positive messages, there are some few challenges that we experienced when we did the analysis. So this slide is just to talk about some of the challenges that we realized when we did the analysis. We realized that the ecological footprint of a person in South Africa is higher than an average global, it's higher than the global average person compared to other countries. So basically the ecological footprint, what it talks about is trying to understand or it measures the human demand on the ecosystem. So we're saying in South Africa we were higher when we look at one person, human demand in terms of in relation to the ecosystem, we were higher as compared to the other global average person. And then we also realized that there is an increase by 2% between 1999 and 2001 in terms of the ecological footprint declining in this period. So what we tried to calculate there is to understand how, as individuals, are we exerting pressure on the ecosystem in order for us to survive, and then basically that slide just indicates that we are not doing well in terms of the ecological footprint when we compare it with the other countries. And then the other challenge that we picked up was that obviously there is an increase in terms of pollution. And then we also realized there is a decline in terms of the air quality. Obviously, as a country, we did efforts in trying to put the monitoring stations all around the hotspots in the country. But when we get the data from RED and did the analysis, there was a confirmation that there is a decline in terms of the quality. And then the natural resources are also being depleted. The water quality is also an issue in the country, and I guess this is also being confirmed when we did the MDG reporting process. The land degradation also, the analysis confirmed that it remains a serious problem. And then when I look at now focusing on the state and the trends in terms of different issues that I talked about, the blue issues, the brown issues, and the biodiversity, now zooming into the key component of it, we looked at the fresh water, the water availability, the water quality. The analysis that was done during that period confirmed that we have less water availability. I guess it's been confirmed through different assessments that South Africa is a water scarce country. So the analysis also confirmed what we already knew about the water availability. And then it also indicated that almost all the exploitable sources are tapped water, resulting in the decrease of fresh water flows in the rivers. And then the map on the other side is just to try to highlight that because of being a water-stressed country, there has to be that transfer of water between your water management areas. And as a result, that will have an impact in terms of the availability of the water in the country and the quality thereof. And then looking at the water quality, The report, when we did the analysis, we realized that the water quality was variable in terms of deterioration, depending on the area that one would look at or do the assessment at, and also depending on what type of pollutant one is looking into when you do such an analysis. Whether you're looking at the dissolved solids concentration, you would then get different results. But when members look at the map that is presented on the right-hand side, it's just to indicate that if we look, the quality improving is supposed to be the green dots. And if you try to quickly check the green dots, they're very few as compared to the quality that is deteriorating, which is the red dots. You've got more water quality deteriorating than the improving one. And then the analysis also confirms that the health of the river ecosystem is declining as a whole by that time. And then in terms of relating now water and climate change, obviously members would understand that obviously climate change will have an impact in terms of our water availability in the country. So the map is just trying to highlight that to confirm the points that I made earlier, that as a country, South Africa, we are a stress and scarcity water in terms of when you compare with other countries within Africa. So it's still just confirmed that we are more stressed and we don't have enough water as a country. And by that time, the effect of climate change on the water availability was not factored into the analysis that was done. So it would be then interesting in 2013 to get to understand when we factor the element of climate change, how will then the picture change as a result of that. But there was a statement that was made after the analysis that chances are then climate change could result in a 10% reduction in runoff by 2015. So I guess through the second round of the analysis, we will then confirm some of the points whether things are getting better or are deteriorating. And then when we now move to the brown issues, we're going to look at the climate change, the air quality, the ozone depletion, and the waste. Maybe it's just important to indicate that when one does an assessment of the state of the environment, because of the interlinkages, it becomes a bit of a challenge for one to focus on one issue, but you would rather then try to link your issues, because one issue would affect another. If you talk about climate change, obviously climate change, you would need to look at it when you talk about your air quality and also when you talk about your water. Hence, there are some elements that might appear as if like there are a repetition, but it's just to bring that cross linkages between the issues. By the time we did the analysis, we obviously looked at the global trends and say how different will then South Africa be as compared to your global trends. And by that time, it was confirmed that temperature has increased by about 6.6 degrees Celsius over the last century. And globally, the temperature will rise further. By that time, when we look at the analysis, we were like, because of the effect of climate change, we see this temperature going up globally, not only for South Africa. But then we were like, okay, after understanding the broader picture in terms of the global, how as a country, South Africa, we are doing in relation to what we've just identified in terms of the temperature. And definitely it was also confirming the fact that also in South Africa, the temperature increase was on average 0.13 degrees Celsius. Basically, that is now in line with what was the assessment of the global trend was indicating. And I think the graph also indicates nicely that at some point in 1961, when you look at compared with 2006, that we are seeing that, and obviously that's as a result of the challenges that we're facing in relation to the climate change.
What does this mean? I mean, if you look at the first one, the global one, you're saying it increased 0.6% degrees. probably a little bit more, because if you look at 1900, it started below zero, so it's probably a bit more. But that, and then you say in South Africa it is 1.3%. So that, does that mean it increased double, the temperature increased double in a century as it increased globally? That's what it means.
When you look in South African context, yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll ask questions later why, because I'm not fully understanding why we would increase double at the global average. But continue.
And the next slide is just to indicate the consistency in terms of the temperature in South Africa. What we did is, obviously we do have the monitoring stations around the country that has been monitored by the weather services. So we use the data from those monitoring stations to try and analyze how then the different cities were doing in relation to the temperature as a result of the activities that we're facing. But if members look at the Devon graph, it looks a bit like it's going down, but it's not anything unique. But the only challenge was, obviously, when we looked at the data that we received from the monitoring stations, there were some inconsistencies, so it was also a bit difficult for one to can draw that final conclusion and say, the reason why it was going down, it was because of the specific reason, because of that data variation. Somehow one is not able to can indicate why is it going down as compared to when you look at other cities' temperatures. And I guess this will be as a result of the different climate condition and the activities that would happen in different cities. And obviously, the climate change will also have the impact on the sea surface temperatures. And the study also confirmed that the mean annual sea surface temperature increased by about 1 degree Celsius. So it was just indicating that for as much as we talked about the temperature, but we also have a challenge in terms of the sea surface temperature and the sea level rising. And we know that the impact of climate change is also having a huge contribution to that. And then we also...
That's 1%, the C1, increased by 1%, 1 degree.
Yes, the sea surface is different.
From 17 and a half to 18. Okay.
And then we also looked at the carbon emissions, obviously in line to try to understand the greenhouse emissions. And the studies that were done by then also indicated that South Africa was high in terms of the carbon dioxide emission per capita when you look compared to the other countries like your Argentina, Brazil, India. South Africa was emitting more carbon dioxide, and I think also this will relate very well with the presentation on the MDG when it talks about as the reporting that we did in 2010, and it's basically...
What does that mean? In 15 years, it stayed constant?
Yes.
Is that what it means? Your carbon emissions, in that 15 years, it stayed constant. It didn't increase.
The one bar is for the 1990, and then the other bar...
Yeah, but it's exactly the same.
Yes.
So over the 15 years, it's not increased at all.
I think one must also bear in mind that the challenge that we have in terms of the data availability, when I do the MDG, it will be clear that sometimes we don't have accurate data to can confirm that this is the correct figure, confidently to say so, because you also look at the methodology, how you calculate to come up with a figure. Sometimes we are, as a country, limited because of...
Well, that's worrying me. The second time you're saying that we're not confident of our data, but yet we've got figures. But okay, we'll examine that later, what you mean by that. Because it's worrying me that every time I ask, but it's not increasing or decreasing, we're saying, well, we're not certain about our data. Then we shouldn't be making these things public. The reason we've asked you to come and give this input here are we giving the right reflection to the world in terms of our environment? So that's why we're now examining it. And I'm worrying that, and I'm not you must continue with your input. But I'm worried now. Every time I just say, but does that mean that? And you say, well, we're not sure of our figures. That really worries me. But we'll get there when we go on. Just go on.
Maybe, Chairperson, to try and indicate also that when we write the report, where we've got limitations, we become open and transparent about it. We would indicate in the report that we had limitation in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4, and therefore this was as the conclusion based on the info that we have. So we're trying to communicate that for as much as we're saying 1%, if there were limitation, we communicate the limitation so that then the decision maker will be able to try and understand the limitations that we had. When they made decision, they would know that there were limitations in terms of the figures that we provided.
Or maybe to help us, when you get to the end, maybe you should say to us, carbon emission figures we're worried about, we're not sure. This temperature, we're not. So maybe at the end you should tell us which ones you're worried about, that you're not sure they're accurate, and which one. Don't worry now. You can do it at the end, okay? We'll give you a chance. Just so that we have a clear picture of which ones we can rely on and which ones we should be a bit skeptical of. But you can do that at the end, okay? Good. Continue.
The climate change impact, I think I've said more than enough about it, but the report indicated that the impact of existing environmental problems, such as land degradation, was as a result of the combination of factors, but obviously with the climate change being a major contributor to that. And also that the response to the global warming were not expected to reverse the trends in the new fit. I think this was just a confirmation and saying that climate change is the key issue for us to address. And it's, like I indicated earlier, that it's not going to be a quick fix solution. So this was just confirming that we do have challenges as a result of the climate change. And then we looked at the air quality in the country. The result, by that time we used the NETLAG result, and then they indicated the results showed that there is an elevated PM10 particulate matter concentration occurring around the country, and I guess that was a key challenge for us in terms of then it affects the human inhaling capabilities, so we needed to look at that, and as much as the report is confirming that we do have challenges in terms of the concentration of that, we needed to do something as a country. And then it also, the report also indicated, confirmed that there is a significant high concentration of fine particles that occurs within the fuel burning residential areas. I guess members are aware that we do have the challenges in terms of your rural areas, in terms of the fuel burning
and your squatter areas.
And the squatter areas, informal settlement. Yes. And also, the report by then confirmed that there is an increase in terms of your oxide concentration because of the busy traffic routes within the metropolitan areas. And I guess this will also link very well with the slide presentation that talks about the temperatures, because somehow this will be interlinked to then how that would then also contribute to the climatic condition of a specific area.
If we want an input on air quality, from who will we get that? Because I see this report is from NEDLAG. So who would we get a report like that to come and give us an input on what they're monitoring at the moment?
The air quality branch is
under which part?
Under
what part is in the weather services? Isn't there some quality?
Yeah.
Yes, see, the weather service, they are the host for the information system, because in some instances, the air quality monitoring with temperature and climate monitoring, so they are hosting the system, but it is...
So we'll get it, if we want an input, we can get it from you.
I think clearly that is an important issue in terms of the development since 2006 and now is the air quality monitoring coming online.
So this is 2006, so that stage you didn't have the new. That's why I'm getting a bit mixed up.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is also in terms of the 2006 data, mm-hmm. specifically around issues that we haven't measured yet, is we've used assumptions in terms of production. So the fact that the 1999 and the 2005 were similar was because there was some level of electrification that happened, household burning of fuel should come down, but there wasn't additional load in terms of there wasn't new power stations coming online in that period. So that is why the factory emissions mixed with the household decrease in emissions, the assumption was that it would remain the same. But
so we've improved our monitoring here, and you can give us an input to update.
Yes.
That's
One of the issues that we also looked at was the consumption of the ozone depleting substances. We knew that the country did sign the protocol in trying to control the ozone depleting substances. And by that time, when we did the analysis, the graph just confirms that then at some point there was an increase in terms of that, and a bit of a decrease when you look between 1999 and 2001, there was a decrease. But then after then you have an increase. Obviously, these are the factors that would influence the increase would then be your air conditioners and your refrigerators. By that time, when we did the analysis, we find that we do have lots of emissions or the ozone depleting substances that come from those elements. And yeah, in the past also we had challenges in terms of the pesticides that were used in the agricultural sector, and then that also contributed to that. But then in the next report, then we will see how the department then factored in some policies and strategies in trying to address the issues on the ozone depleting substances. There is a huge improvement as compared to what is captured in the 2006 report. And we also, by that time, felt that the waste management was a key issue that we needed to look at. And this is one of those statistics where we only looked at not all the cities in the country, but we only looked at the cities that are under the South African City Network, simply because they had the readily available data in terms of the collection of refuse removal. And then other cities, you find that the coordination of that activity was a bit fragmented, so therefore it was a bit challenging for the analysis to can take into account such statistics. Therefore, we decided then to use the more organized structures, which is why we chose then to use the cities that are within the South African City Network. The analysis just confirmed that by that time there was an increase of 13.3% in terms of the refuse removal, and I think this is in relation to then the financial constraints that you would find at the local government. So we went deeper and say, let's try to understand why such a status, and we tried to look at the cash payments for operating activities for the local government to try to understand how then the financial component has been controlled at the local government, just to get to understand why challenges in terms of the refuse removal. And the next slide just shows that then the environmental protection was somehow by that time not highly prioritized. Then we went.
So that means that the least money they spend on is on the environment.
Yes.
Is that what it means?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then we went further and said, let's try to understand that the little that they use for the environmental protection, how is it then allocated down or divided? And we realized that, I mean, the waste management, that the issue that we concern about, you had close to zero budget there, and also the R&D by that time, there was no funds for the research and development, and which was the great component that could assist us in trying to get to understand what are the issues before the issues become realities. So that just confirms that then, for as much as we're doing, we're putting aside money. The money was more on the protection of biodiversity and the landscape. But one would then assume that by that time it was more of facility and practice. So that was more of the focus than then looking at other environmental protection related issues. And then the last part in terms of the status and the trends, the biodiversity and the ecosystem, we looked at the rivers, the marine and coastal resources. We also identified some positive trends under that. Just to highlight one key component was the Working For program that we do have in the country. But the fact that, I mean, the budget was increased significantly and a lot of work being done in trying to rehabilitate some of the ecosystems. That was a positive finding from that side. And also the work that was being done by the SANDI in terms of the spatial biodiversity assessment, trying to understand the spatial biodiversity in the country, that was done. And that, for us as a country, was like we're taking into cognizance the importance of understanding what are the state of our biodiversity and what are the things that we could do. Because obviously then the assessment will come up with a recommendation in terms of what are the things that could be done there. And then we also looked at the aquatic ecosystems. But unfortunately, the analysis was indicating that the aquatic ecosystem were in the worst shape by that time. It was estimated that 50% of South African wetlands were destroyed at the time. But one would say it would be interesting to see after the 2012 analysis, because of the Working For program, how then things have changed since the 2006. I think there is a point also that highlights the availability of information, and I think that's the key thing that we're trying to always emphasize, that for as much as we want to do the analysis and understand better the status and the trends, sometimes we get limited in terms of the data that would be available at the time when the analysis is conducted. And then when we looked at the rivers, the health of the rivers in the country, it was also unfortunate that the analysis was indicating that the river ecosystem was also declining. And when members looked at the map, I think the legend, they just explained the fact that you do have your more critical endangered as compared to the least threatened and your vulnerable. So you've got your more red in the map. So that was just highlighting to us as a country that we need to do more in terms of understanding the issues of our rivers in the country. And then we looked at the marine and the coastal resources. And there we realized that as much as 40% of South African population live within 100 kilometers of the coastal zone, there is that substantial development pressure around that area, and as a result, then it would affect the health of the marine and the coastal area because of the developments that would happen there by then. But also, there was a positive in a way to also realize that there were few marine protected areas established. So just to confirm that, as a country, at least we are doing something to protect our marine environment. The issue around the blue flag beaches, we obviously as a country, our aim is to try to get all our beaches to get the blue flags, but then because because of the waste management challenges that you would find around these areas, then you get a situation where then some of the status would then be removed, because of then you find that challenges around the sustainability of such a mechanism was an issue. But yeah, the positive combined with the negative, in a sense that at some point we are doing well, and then when we do the analysis later, we realize that some of the elements within the blue flag beaches is being challenged, and as a result, the status gets taken away. We also looked at the estuaries and the state and the trends of the biodiversity and the analysis by that time confirmed that some of the estuaries were in a poor state. The state was basically declining, so that was one of the issues that we needed to be concerned about and try to come up with policy intervention in relation to that. And then when we look at the map, I mean, it's just indicating the coastal areas where you've got your excellent, your good, and the poor. But for as much as the red are not too many or too much, but we still have the challenges where the coastal line is not as good or as excellent as we would want it to be. So this was just to confirm that we need to look into what are the things that we can do to improve our estuaries. Then we looked at the wastewater into the marine. Obviously, there is a challenge in terms of the daily discharge of wastewater into our marine. And by that time, when we did the analysis, the results confirmed that daily wastewater discharge was about 60% greater than the time, the 5 years ago, in 1995, when we released the 1999 report. So there was a concern that there is an increase in terms of the waste that is being discharged into our marine environment. And then the next slide is just to indicate the fact that the climate change impact in terms of the sea surface temperature that I talked about, it is a reality. So as a country, we would then need to find a way of then how to then try to mitigate and come up with mitigating actions in terms of addressing the challenges that we're facing under that. Then we've got the terrestrial biodiversity. When we did the analysis, it was generally the terrestrial component was found to be the better component as compared to the others. As compared to when you look at the rivers and the marine, the terrestrial was the better component. So one would then could safely say it's a positive in a way. But then by that time, the assessment indicated that almost 10% of South African birds and frogs and 20% of the mammals were threatened. And the SANBI has just done the recent biodiversity assessment, so we would then get to understand whether are we still facing the same challenges that were documented in 2006 or whether there are some improvements since the 5 years after the release of the report. The protected areas. The report indicated that about 60% of South Africa was formally protected, and the protected area network was not sufficiently represented all habitat types. But then we have done some work internally in terms of trying to plot. I think when the committee was at the department in the last meeting, we presented some information in relation to the database that talks to the protected areas, just to show the work that we've done in terms of trying to talk to the issues around the protected areas. So it is also going to be interesting to see the changes after the work that has been done in the country in relation to this. By this time, the rate of the invasive species...
Just tell me how we must read that graph.
Okay.
Look, you see, it's got two things. It's got area and it's got number.
In
204, 207, it shows a high number, but very small land area. What does that mean?
The hectares, when you read the green, the top portion is the hectares. And then the bottom...
Well, I know that. And the bottom one is the numbers. But if you go to 204, 207, tell me what that means, if I read that. It shows a high number of parks and a small number of areas. And I'm trying to work out what I must read that as.
To my understanding is that the total bar constitutes what is the hectares under protection, and the dark green bits indicate what of that is formal part of a park, because some of the biosphere reserve, for example, is protected, but they are not part of a park. So I think that is the inclusion of the protected hectares, the percentage, so you would see that steadily increases.
But if your number of parks increases, why does the number of hectares decrease? That's what I'm not understanding.
Yeah, I think that the legend, I think the total one should be the hectares under protection. And the dark green would be which part of what is under protection is within a park. I don't know if I'm understanding correctly.
Well, someone can look at what that means and tell us later, because I still don't understand what that graph means. Okay, next one.
The challenges that were identified in terms of the terrestrial biodiversity. I think when we did the analysis, there was a confirmation that it will be difficult for the country to attain the goal of reducing the rate of biodiversity loss by 2010. And the aquatic ecosystem was in poor condition, and some west coastal ecosystems were regarded as critically endangered. And then the wetlands were continuing to be destroyed, and therefore that needed a full assessment to look in terms of what the status of our wetlands in South Africa. But as I indicated, that then the work that has been done through the working for then obviously would. The statement would then be different when we look at the 2012 report. And then after doing the analysis, what then we do is we look at what are the things that we can put in place, or what are the things that we can do with the efforts of improving the state of our environment. And by that time, we said the key issues that we needed to look at was the information sharing for decision-making purposes, building the capacity within the country in terms of the issues that were identified as challenges, and strengthening the implementation and the enforcement, and basically taking through the mainstreaming of the environment throughout our day-to-day activities. And when we look at the information for decision-making, obviously it's very important that then we make the information available in terms of the status quo of our state of the environment, and with the hope that through that, then decision makers will be able to make sure that they put programs in place and policies that would then assist in terms of the challenges that were identified by that time. And then one way that was proposed was that we need to set in place mechanisms to fill the gaps for the environmental, the data gaps that I've been referring to. I think at the end of the analysis, we acknowledge the fact that we've been challenged in terms of the data, that is environmental data available to do such analysis. And we say we needed to put mechanism in place for us to be able to fill that gap for the environmental priority areas that and that list would then talk, maybe respond in a way to the question that Ted asked about which data set, the data sets that we feel that we've got challenges in terms of the information availability. And another point that was emphasized of the analysis was that we need to continue the ongoing development of appropriate environmental indicators. Obviously, then the indicators will assist us in trying to understand the trends for the future. So that is linked to the filling of the data gaps that were identified during the analysis. So the belief is through the indicator programs, then you are able to have those mechanisms that would then collect the data and be able to can, in the next round, confidently say somehow the data gaps have been reduced. And then obviously building capacity is crucial in terms of addressing the challenges that were identified. And here it was just emphasizing that we need to focus on capacity building efforts for the environmental management at all levels. As I indicated on the previous slides when I talked about the waste management issues at the local level, so we needed to build the financial capacity, that capacity in order for us as a country to be able to target look at the challenges that were identified throughout, from the local level, provincial level, to even to the national level. And then it was also emphasized that there is that importance of establishing partnership to improve access to information. I guess collaboration is always the key, in a sense that trying to do the analysis for the state of the environment, it touches on all different institutions' mandate and different sectors' mandate. And as a result, if we're working together in trying to then improve the access to information, that would then help us in terms of correcting some of the challenges that were identified and also making sure that when we do such analysis, the information is available. And then another key component that was emphasized was we needed to strengthen the implementation and the enforcement as a country, still emphasizing the fact that we needed to roll out the National Environmental Capacity Building Program, because the belief is the more people are aware, the more people have access to information, then they will be able to make proper decisions that would then make a difference in what we're trying to achieve. And then obviously talking to the issue around trying to improve the capacity within the regulatory authorities, just to make sure that then authorities will comply with whatever strategies or policies that are in place. And obviously when people comply, we know that then some of the challenges that were picked up when we did the analysis would then be addressed. And then the last point was about the mainstreaming the environment. This was just to emphasize that we need to bring environmental sustainability principles into the aspect of the planning and the decision making and operating. Just to say that if we can as a country try to, on our everyday life, try to make sure that when we do our planning, when we make our decision, when we do the operation, the environmental sustainability principles are our cornerstone, therefore we will be able to can tackle some of the challenges that we highlighted. And then what happened is after the 2006 report was released, we wanted to understand whether the objectives of the report were met, whether the report is making the impact that we thought it would make, and then we conducted a mini survey just to try and check where the report was distributed, where the report was used for, and how effective and the content, the confidence of the users in terms of the content of the report. So the few slides are just some of the results that were received through the survey. Basically, we tried to understand the products that were do the report, we try to package it in different products so that we are able to can target our different audience. You would have then your main report, which is the hard copy, the full comprehensive report that members have in front of them. Then we would then have the summary version for just decision makers, and then we'll make the report available on the website and do the DVDs, just trying to ensure that we target in broader audience. And it was interesting for us to get to understand that senior managers are using the report, the middle managers are using the report, and also the academic, the researchers, they also using the report. And I think last year we tried to understand in terms of the academics, for what purpose are they using the report for, and we understand that they're integrating the learning, the content of the report into the learning system, especially institutions. So for us, for as much as we've got limitations in terms of the data that is available in doing such an analysis, but we found that then your decision makers and those academics, they feeling confident enough to can use the outcomes of the report. Then this was just to indicate the preference in terms of people, which products do they prefer, for us to be able to understand when we do the next round of the report, what products are more suitable for what type of audience. So this was just the feedback that we received, that then you get people who would prefer the printed report, and then your youth version. It's still a bit of a challenge in the sense that it was only the first round that we introduced such a concept at the youth level. So we had a special initiative for youth to say to them, they took the main report that we compiled and then they did the youth report based on the content of the main report, just for them to get to understand the environmental issues at their level. And obviously we would have the different distributing media, so we also felt it's also important to try to understand how people are getting the report so that we know in the future how to improve in terms of the distribution component. But the majority of the respondents indicated that they're getting the report through the department, and others then they would obviously get through the government information center. And yeah, this one is just to confirm that people still prefer the printed hard copy as compared to the e-versions. But then as the environmental custodian, there is a challenge now trying to balance between doing your e-versions and your hard copy reports. And yeah, the last slide is just to talk about when we did the report, by the time, the hype that was behind it, that the content of the report, the consultation was brought enough to a point where we had some newspaper articles in terms of the process itself, the scientific studies that were done. We managed to write some interesting articles to attract and stimulate the debate in terms of the content of the report, to get people to talk about the content of the report and not only leave the writers to do the writing in terms of what are the findings and what are the status of our environment. And we also had some few programs in terms of some slots in the 50-50, where then we would have the discussion around the issues that are raised in the report. And I think as a country, that would make us confident enough to can say, for as much as we've got challenges in terms of the data, but we are able to can transparently discuss the issues that are contained there and get people to raise their views in terms of what is captured in the report. And yeah, the report is still available on the portal. Even the 2012 process is also on the State of the Environment portal. We do have a national internet portal dedicated just for the State of the Environment Reporting Initiative. every research article that is done in terms of understanding what are the issues around the state of the environment. We would then upload them and put it in there so that we stimulate the discussions around what are the key issues that we are discussing in the country.
Thank you. Next, Matere, Mr. Susana, Dr. Huang.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Lanke. Am I correct?
Thank you. I think this was a very good report. I think it's better than the one we received last time. So my question is in relation to the public awareness about environmental issues. Can you briefly explain to us as to how do you disseminate this information to the poor in deep rural villages where natural resources are mostly exploited for livelihood purposes? Second one is how is your relationship with the farmers association in relation to environmental management? Because I believe that agriculture is one of the sectors that, if not monitored correctly, can have a very negative impact on our environment. Lastly, I'm happy to hear that they are intending to roll out National Environmental Capacity Building Program for local candidates, because I was really very much worried about the correctness of the report from the municipality, taking into account the lack of skilled environmental officers in most of our municipalities. I was in fact going to ask you to whether do they have mechanism to monitor, to verify those reports. So, but I'm encouraged by this program that didn't roll out. I think it will improve the state of the environment in our municipality. Thanks, Chair.
General Mayor.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the most important slide, as far as I'm concerned, is on page 24, that mainstreaming the environment. This report, if I'm not mistaken, it must have been compiled before 2006. The curious question one would like to pose is, what progress has been made between 2006 and to date when you are preparing to compile another state of environment? What have been the challenges? My main problem or my observation on this is that the Department of Environment will do their work, but the other stakeholders, are they cooperating with your findings? I'll make an example. There is no way that you can talk of improving ecosystems under the present land tenure system. You will find that when you drive to the rural areas, especially the former homeland, there's no fencing whatsoever. So this report, therefore, it might mislead us because it's compiled only on the developed infrastructure of South Africa, that is the old South African farming community. If you talk about the farming community in those rural areas, there's no way that you can even attempt to assess their ecosystems because it's zero. That also includes their rivers. I won't even talk about the townships. So my suggestion is that from now on, I think the portfolio committee should approach whoever, whether it's a chairperson of chairpersons, that this state of environment must be discussed by the relevant or associate portfolio committees. I'm thinking here about human settlements, thinking about local government, minerals and energy, and to some extent the National Planning Department. Otherwise, we are going to come back here after 5 years again. And then you are to tell us about the state of environment. And yet you find that there is no progress, for instance, by Rural Development Department on changing the land tenure system. So that's my input. There is a need, therefore, to coordinate this at the highest level. Otherwise, it's going to be a waste of money printing all these glossy papers, but you don't see anything on the ground.
Thank you, Chairperson. My view is at some point there is a very similar what the General said, because this outlook is 2006, now it's 2011. Now we are discussing for the 6 years ago this report. From the your page 21, you say what is biodiversity for the energy for the chemistry. You say it will be very difficult for the obtain the goal of reducing for the rate of the this biodiversity for the loss the 2010. Now you this you now you're talking to only touch this one is 2010. So for the last paragraph you say is there remain some the critical indicator for the which we have to not adequate for data. So this one is without which the your assessment of the current situation is incomplete. So I say, Chairperson, now we discussing for the this outlook for the 2006. Like last speaker said, if not connect to the other department, only for the department environmental, then for the all this situation, yes, I fully agree. So after 5 years, we're talking the same issue again. Chair, we just go oversight for the last, I think it's the last 3 weeks ago, we also go see the wetland. Then now, this report is 6 years ago. Report said this only 10%. This wetland is fully protected. Then it's 50% of South Africa wetlands has been destroyed. Then I don't know this from this department. Yes, your report is quite good, more detail inside. But I want to know past 5 years. This is 5 years ago, your report. Then you say that there is no available information on about 66% of the dam. This is a serious issue. But this department coming for the make your presentation and the briefing all issue. We like to see how you can sort out and what your strategic plan for indicator for this issue. We see that it's a beautiful this wetland in the East Mongolia. But now you say it's a very, very serious issue for inside you highlight. So I'd like to see this outlook and this report is we only can get every 5 years or every year. How long is get this one? Or the 5 years discussion one time for this or the outlook. This is quite confusing and misleading to me. Okay, I think my question just stops here. Thanks.
I think we must remember why we're taking this input. Remember we had a discussion in Pretoria. This input is not so much to discuss the information that's here at this time. Remember, we discussed it in terms of how do we want to make sure that this information is accurate in the future and in future. Remember, we had a whole lot of discussions with Pretoria to say for example, they appoint one person to do chapter one. Is that the kind of, and usually it's someone that's in the environmental field, where it's special interest and so on. So we were discussing to what extent we can strengthen those kind of things. So I just want us to remember, we're not so much worried about the facts and figures here. It's more the weaknesses in this report and the way we deal with it that we're really worrying about. Okay. So just remember that when we're discussing these issues. Mr. Skozana?
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, firstly, I just want to raise a concern of getting a document when you come to the meeting. You get a document early in the morning, then you come to the meeting. You must get this document, in fact, a few days before the meeting so that you can read. This is a very important information that we're supposed to interact with. And Chairperson, what I must say, I want to concur with General Olomisa on some other aspects that he has alluded here. Chairperson, I'm a little bit worried if we talk about the challenges on data collection and including even the waste, which means we don't even know how many municipalities that are dealing with waste correctly, people who are dealing with waste and so on, and of which is very worrisome to a person who wants to know exactly what is happening in this environmental affairs. And Chairperson, I asked a question about the officials who are responsible in assisting the municipalities at some stage. The response was that there are people in the municipalities assisting in terms of these environmental issues. But when you look to the information that you are getting in relation to those officials and the work that must be done on the ground, it's a very big difference because there is nothing coming up on the ground in assisting those municipalities. And Chairperson, it's true that the information that we're discussing here is an information which is from urban areas. But it's not from rural areas. Rural areas, there are a lot of things in the rural areas that are happening in terms of pollution, in terms of, in fact, land degradation and whatever. But here, the information is based or is focused to the urban areas. And Chairperson, also, I'm worried about the increase in the air pollution. I just want to know, this local government, they got an induction. Is there anything coming up? Is there any changes after that induction? Is there any measures put in place in assessing and monitoring those municipalities to implement the programs of the environment? And also, Chairperson, the gap of the environmental priority areas, really, I can just ask a question, Chairperson, of how far have you gone as department with this capacity building? Because we talk about capacity building every year. We do have a budget and a plan. How far have you got? Have you gone? And where are your challenges in your capacity building? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is actually linked to Charlie. And I will sort of, the issue for me there is that the report, yes, was compiled some couple of years ago. What is the state of affairs today in terms of that 66% that you say that is unaccounted for, or you say there's no information about it? And my concern there, Chair, I hear what you're saying. The issue for me is that if the department can say they do not have information, who is supposed to be the custodian of that information if it's not this department? And therefore, if this department do not have that information, who does that reflect on in terms of the capacity? Because for me, it's directly, reflecting on the department itself. that they're supposed to be the custodian, and yet they do not have that kind of information. So it was important to actually understand what is the state of affairs as of today. The second one is on the marine resources. For me, the issue there is what is the long-term strategy or the long-term plan. I know, Honorable Olumisa spoke about other, interested, groups or other, portfolio committees. And one will know that this maybe will cut across this department and maybe the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries. The issue, therefore, for me is what is the long-term plan, of both those departments, if you talk to one another, the long-term plan to actually rescue, this important asset or commodity, because, Honorable Matebe spoke about the livelihood, that some of these species are actually the livelihood of some of the, of the communities. But having said that, there should be a long-term plan by the department in terms of still making sure that these species will still have them for the next 50 or 100 years. So I would love to know if there's any vision from your side. Thank you.
Mr. Chetty.
On page 23, on training of judiciary, when you on oversight, we got information regarding time taken for cases to be completed. So I also think we talk a lot about compliance, because we cannot, develop legislation and not make a follow-up on compliance. And also the time taken is really discouraging. They're also talking about 3 to 4 years. And also adding to what the general just said about the inclusion of other departments, I thought you also refer to the department that is dealing with the control of our borders. You know, the freedom of movement in and out of the country is very unbearable and creating problems for us. And on this other one, that you have just raised a concern, I'm not sure if that can be common sense. If we talk about increasing the number of parks when the hectares are getting small, does it mean we start to divide the parks and increase the numbers? That means the hectares. I'm not sure. I'm just trying to use common sense, but we rely on research and not their common sense.
Any further questions, anyone? Okay, over to the department.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with the question that you've asked during the presentation about the carbon emissions. The slide on page 12 actually doesn't talk about carbon emissions. It talks about carbon emissions per capita. Because in the report itself, we do measure greenhouse gases, but we only measured in one, or for the 2006 report, we've relied on the Cape Point measurements, which actually show an increase of about 0.6 percent in carbon emissions per year. This slide talks specifically about the dynamics between population growth and carbon emissions. So it's the per capita, not necessarily the growth in carbon emissions there. The report also talks about translating the other greenhouse gases to carbon equivalents in order for us to measure, because in some there's been an increase, in others there's been a decrease in that regard. If I can then get to Honorable Matebe in terms of the public awareness, I think firstly I must just correct the perception that might have been raised by the presentation. The report covered the total land surface of South Africa. So if we talk about the biodiversity assessment, the entire land surface of South Africa has been assessed. So specifically in terms of the biodiversity, the land cover, there's a chapter on land degradation that talk about the harvesting of wood, the soil erosion, etc. It is in the report itself. When it comes to local municipality functions, the information specifically around waste services is incredibly, incredibly poor when it comes to local municipalities that have low income, because they rely on the little income that they have to do the services that can generate income for them. We have done an assessment in, Sham, I think you need to come into this year, in terms of the waste services. In 2006, there was a big assessment done by us in 2007 in terms of the number of households countrywide that do not have access to a waste service collection. We then costed, and it would cost $5.4 billion for us to do the interventions in the local municipality to address that assumption, and we've been asking for that $5.4 billion every year. From Treasury through the MTEC submission. We've just done it again on Monday when we had our first MTEC submission for the coming financial year to get that $5.4 billion to do the injection into specifically where the indigent communities are for the municipalities to be able to afford what it would take to have basic waste service collection for them. So I think the awareness side, I want to link to that, because the capacity in municipalities is just so incredibly low, one. Secondly, the priority of environment generally and waste generally is incredibly low in how they apportion their budgets, even though waste collection, for example, is primarily, in terms of the constitution, a local municipality function. It is not the national department's function to do it, but we have to obviously put the enabling policies, et cetera, in place. So we do specific interventions, or we aim to do specific interventions around waste collection and landfill management, but the $5.4 billion was not awarded to us in the past 3 years when we motivated for that. In terms of our general awareness program, Chair, you would also recall when we submitted our budget, that is constantly the area where we, even as a department, get cut. We've now asked for, you know, how much we've asked for just the climate change outreach, and Treasury is still to the date resistant in terms of giving us money around the awareness, because we compete with basic services. And that remain a challenge for us. What we try to do innovatively around that is to use the programs that we have to equip, for example, our working for teams to be able to do awareness. The working for water, the working for waste, where they are working in communities to do that. In addition to that, we have deployed community environmental workers to all the district municipalities and to some of the priority local municipalities as well. The mandate of those people that are deployed at an assistant director level, their mandate is however huge. It is as big as the environment mandate. So it is from conservation, biodiversity, to waste, to environmental impact assessments, to advising the municipality in terms of the waste services, those services. And they are literally basically just a conduit of bringing people that have inquiries to the correct person that can help them. They cannot physically assist because there's just not enough of them. So the awareness program in that regard, I think there's also, then we rely heavily in terms of community radio stations, etc. We use short inserts on a specific issue. This year our focus is on climate change to try and get the message in terms of that awareness. But the biggest impact that you can have is through programs like the Land Care Program, where we go to restituted land and we assist with rural development in terms of how do you do agriculture through a land care approach, changing the irrigation patterns, and continuously to do that awareness. But I must be honest with you, we're not doing nearly enough, and we don't have nearly enough resources to do this awareness. In terms of our relationship with Farmers Association, there is a mixed response to that. I think we have a good relationship or interaction with Farmers Association where it goes to commodities that are also biodiversity. For example, the whole issue about nature reserves, the hunting industry, etc. In terms of crop production, it is more through the land care process and together with rural development in the cluster approach that we reach out to farmers associations. Local government, the big, Honorable Matebi, I think your observation in that regard that it is improving is correct. We now have two partnerships, once with SELGA directly through Outcome 10, where SELGA is assisting us with improving the local government's performance. We've also extended our intergovernmental framework structures, which was previously only between provinces, the MINTEC-MINMEC system, now includes councillors of the district and metro councils, as well as municipal managers. And because we are talking about waste and air, mostly at this point in time, it is restricted to district and municipal level at this point in time. The Honorable General Kolomisa, in terms of the mainstreaming, the progress and challenges, I think, would come out of the 2013 report that we are producing, because we are tracking this. You were intimately involved in the 99 report, and you would see the progress that was made to the 2006 report. I think fundamentally what is for us indicator that we are starting to succeed in the mainstreaming is the 2025 visioning work that the National Planning Commission is doing, and that they are relying on the Sustainable Development Chapter on that, on the work that we've done through the State of Environment Reporting, as well as the Strategy for Sustainable Development, which is also very, very closely linked. The challenges in this is the fact that the environment mandate is so fragmented. You've asked about the progress and the challenges. The challenge is the fragmentation of it, that it's not only national and provincial, it's also nationally split between departments. I mean, we all know about the dynamics of mineral resources, but it's also true in terms of forestry, agriculture, rural development, the environment, sustainable things, local government, cooperative governance, and now I think the traditional affairs, which is now a separate department, is also somebody that needs to come into this whole issue in terms of getting the environmental stroke to underline everything that we are doing everywhere. But that remains a challenge, that it is so fragmented. And I think the land tenure link, I've tried to respond to it.
Well, including with that is that you then have to rely for the information you put in this book, you have to rely on that source.
Yes.
Now, we all know that local government is exceptionally weak. Mm. So anything in here that comes from local government, you can't trust. Because, I mean, you know, they're hardly, I mean, if you look at this picture, look how much they spend nothing on environment in 205. I'm going to ask if we get an update of this, but if that's what they spend, and most of it's on biodiversity, nothing is on waste.
Yes, and that biodiversity is actually park management.
Park management.
So it's about...
So that's what they spend that money on. Nothing here on the waste. So you can see that the problem is, when you write a book like this, that there are whole chapters in here and whole parts of this that are problematic just in terms of where the information comes from. Because we don't know if it's correct or not. I mean, ultimately, they're the ones that are responsible for that job. So they also collect the information. So one thing we have to start looking at is to what extent we can create norms and standards at the national level to say, when you do your waste stuff at local government level, we want you to collect this information. I mean, the Constitution allows that. Even if the function is permitted there, norms and standards can be set at the national level. So I think that's the next step we'll have to look at, to what extent we can strengthen certain things so that we get a better balanced, reflective report here. Because I think, in my view, even in the new report, there are parts of this document that I don't think we can fully rely on in terms of the information that's been given from the source from where it comes from. I mean, even if you look at this report, it's worrying that a NEDLAC survey, whatever they did, actually becomes the source of government information. I'm not criticizing. If we don't have the information, if the best source we've got is a NEDLAC report, so be it, okay? You know, we've done it. But the mere fact that that is where we have to source our information, when we've got no control over how that information was gathered, is problematic. So I think that, that adds to this issue of the fragmentation. I think we have to realize, and what we're doing in this discussion is to see how we can do this. And I really want the department to come back to us to tell us where their weaknesses here. We can actually make interventions, and we're going to do it. For example, for local government, we're going to set certain norms and standards in terms of statistics, et cetera, et cetera. So we start trying to, if we haven't got control over something, to what extent can we set the parameters of how that information comes and to try and make it more legitimate and more verifiable, okay? So I think that's the next point we'll also want the department actually to go and look at and come back to us.
Chief, I may just on two things coming from that. The first thing is that what we are moving towards, and Anna touched on it, is to be able to have environmental data to be certified through Stats SA. So in the same way that you can rely, so some of the information, for example, in terms of household waste collection, etc., is included in the 2010 census now. So that we can get the information through Stats SA, which is then certified information that has the credibility that comes with certified information. Specifically around waste information, we have, through the Waste Management Act, have set up the waste information management system, and we're currently busy with the draft regulations in that regard, which set exactly that norms and standards. I think the real challenge comes in that is only addressed waste that is in the official stream. And the big issue is the waste that is not collected and is not officially being disposed of through an official waste stream management process, which brings us to the households that are not covered by waste management services. And I think that is why that $5.4 billion is critical, so that we can have a true picture of what the waste load of the country is, and how much of that gets recycled, how much of it gets reused, and how much of it ultimately gets landfilled. And of those that are not landfilled, how much are we using for energy recycling? So I think that is important that we've put that in place. But I think for us it's a very critical point that we do have certified statistics going into our trend analysis going forward. But I think we can certainly do analysis of what the weaknesses are and what our interventions in the 2013 process is around the data to address those weaknesses. I think the suggestion by Honourable Olumisa around a discussion across portfolio committees is also a good suggestion. I think we must also appreciate that when the 2006 report did come out, there was a briefing at the time. I think Honourable Morgan will recall it, that we did have a briefing on the report when it was still fresh off the ink at that time. Honourable Huang, I think we totally acknowledge that the information is outdated, that it's 2006 data and that there are gaps. In terms of the current situation and in terms of the frequency, the law requires that you do state of environment report in 5-year cycles. And the 5-year cycle is in order because, firstly, it comes at a great cost, but secondly, you cannot really see specifically environmental trends in shorter cycles. 5 years is already, for some environmental aspects, a very limited time. For example, climate. You cannot really monitor climate change over a cycle of 5 years, what to say in terms of a year. That's why you're going to sometimes end up with nonsensical information if you do this too frequently. And the 5-year cycle is what has been agreed to as a reasonable cycle for most issues to do with. The big problem that we have is that the cycles don't coincide, because the 2010, we've done the State of Environment report in 2006. The Millennium Development Goal, it was done in 2010. 2005 and 2010, because their baseline was 1995. It's very related to 5-yearly program since of 2000, the Millennium Development Goals were agreed to. So I think the misalignment of these cycles is for us a concern. and there's further misalignments, for example, with the biodiversity assessment, because you would want to have the state of the air and the state of the biodiversity and the state of the river health to be a year at least before the state of the environment, which is then the high level cutoff. So there's not close alignment between the different cycles of reporting that we rely the state of environment report on. The current situation, we really cannot say in terms of the issues that were measured here. We would need to wait for the 2030. In terms of the information gaps, we are comfortable that some of the information gaps have been closed, and that is specifically around air quality, where we now have a comprehensive system in place, but also through our process that we've done through the long-term mitigation scenarios, etc., there's a far more closer monitoring of that. Also in terms of biodiversity, the land cover, which was specifically raised as a concern for the 2010 reporting cycle, the current biodiversity assessment was able to do it at a far more refined scale, and in our 2013 report, we will be in a better position to report on land cover change in terms of a biodiversity perspective. So there are some areas where the information, where we are the custodian and we could close the gap. And Chair, I want to agree with you, where we are not the custodian, it is very difficult to close that gap. And the waste management is a very specific case in point in this regard. In terms of the Honourable Kosana, we apologise that you only got this report today. We were only informed of the or requested to change the program on Thursday last week. So this briefing was supposed to be on the 30th. And our planning was around that. So our sincerest apologies about only receiving the information today. The data collection on waste information, I've alerted to our challenges in that regard. I don't know if you want to come in here, Isham, in terms of what we are doing, but I think our biggest thing that we are doing is that we're trying to get the money that is necessary for us to do the work. But the 2007 survey was quite a comprehensive survey in terms of what the status is. The officials assisting the municipalities, I've talked about the limited capacity, but that there is some capacity, and that we try to extend it specifically with the Working for Waste, etc. programs that we have. In terms of the urban areas, the skewedness of the report to urban areas is around the pollution issues. In terms of biodiversity degradation, there isn't actually the skewedness there is more to the rural areas where the biodiversity still is. Local government support, I've touched on already as well. In terms of the capacity building challenges, money and people, capacity is our biggest challenge in terms of stretching our capacity building even more. In terms of Honourable Ndudie, I've talked about the information gaps that we're still concerned about, but we are comfortable that we're moving closer to some of it. And the whole issue about the fact that constitutionally we cannot be the custodian of information that is not our constitutional function. But we can set the norms and standards for that, and that we are trying to do. In terms of the marine resources, my understanding is that there is now, with the new focus of our department, to be more with the split from the Marine Living Resources Fund, there was some advantages. And that is that we can now look at it from a biodiversity management perspective and not from the commodity of the fishery rights, etc. So the strategy, I know that the Oceans and Coasts branch is working on the strategy in terms of the marine research as well as focusing around the marine reports. We are still working very closely with DAF in terms of striking that balance between the livelihoods and the protection of the marine biodiversity in general for the benefit of the future generations. So there is a strategy in development. We are also in the very early stages of developing a similar to the Coastal Management Act, the Marine Act, National Environmental Management Marine Act, but that is at the very, very early stages of development, and of course the strategy and policy need to precede that. Honourable Tsetse, I think your first question relates to the compliance report around the training of the judiciary, which is the third input of today. So we, if it's not responded to that, if it's not answered through that presentation, then we can get back to it. I think your other questions I have responded to, if I in my general issues that I've raised up front around the municipality. Thank you, Chair. I don't know if
anyone want to add any to the responses, the department?
It was in relation to the waste and the fact that we use that as a information. So we can essentially give you a breakdown per province of what the waste backlogs are and what it would cost.
Well, what we've got, if you look at our program, one of the issues on our general program is the issue of waste. So what I'm going to suggest is that in the fourth term, we have public hearings around waste. What I want you to do, if it's you that's dealing with it, I want you to liaise with Chileka and say, who is it that we want to invite to come and give us inputs on waste? Okay, of course, the department we want to give us general inputs and so on, but who else, and for the public hearings? And then we'll ask also, of course, for submissions from the public itself. So let's deal with a waste issue like that. You link up with Chileka and we provide some public hearings for the fourth quarter, okay? Is that all right, members? It is on our program. We're just tightening now the dates for it. Okay, any other inputs on the questions that were asked? Go ahead.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. With the effort of trying to explain the graph, yes, we do have number of hectares, and then we've got number of parts. I mean, the amount of hectares and then the number of parks. When we look at the 1925 to 1929, we have a lesser number of parks and then with the higher hectares. But then when you go to the 204, 207, what that means is the hectares grew in terms of the years, but then within that hectare, we also had number of parks. The national park.
So in that 204, 207,
we've got We've got 21 parks.
Yeah.
And then we've got just above 3.5 million.
You add the whole dark green plus the light green for the hectares.
Yes. And then we add the number of parks.
Okay,
then
it's
understandable.
You see why it's confusing, because it's just light green. So what you should really do, you should do a light green and a dark green column next to each other. Then you can see it nicely. Like that is difficult to understand. Especially if you're foolish like me, then it's very difficult. But if the hectares is the whole dark green and the light green, and the number is just the dark green, you see where the confusion comes in. Then it's understandable. Okay, next, the others? Any others? Any other issues? Is that all of them?
Question on the farmer?
COO responded to
that. COO did respond. I'm not sure if you were happy. You weren't happy with the answer.
No, maybe I was
fine. I mean, Khoshi, you know what a Khoshi does? A Khoshi sleeps from time to time. When he closes his eyes, not that he's sleeping, he's meditating. They were meditating. Can you just give the issue on the Farmer Association again?
Yes, Chair, with pleasure. We have mixed relationship with Farmers Associations. We tend to have stronger relationships where we deal with biodiversity issues directly, for example, hunting and game farming, etc. In terms of crop production, our relationship is not as formal and is mostly exercised through the land care products, where we provide guidelines in terms of agricultural practices that is less water intensive, that won't lead to erosion and is less dependent on biodiversity. And we are also moving towards, for example, looking at biological pest control and things like that. The third area where we have a strong relationship with them is where the activities of the department or our entities is causing damage to, like, the whole issue around damage causing animals of animals escaping from our parks and causing damage to surrounding farmers' land. So I think those are the three areas in which we mostly have association with them. But we do invite them to all of our policy indications, etc. The fourth one Isham should have actually raised is where we're talking about in terms of our chemicals management, where it is about stockpiling of absolute pesticides and the DDT issue, etc., where we also engage with the Farmers Association around that. The removal of the absolute pesticides, which has been used and is now banned, we're assisting through the Farmers Associations with those processes.
Very good.
All right, now, what I think we need is the following, Ms. McCourt. Firstly, I think what you must do is you must go and do a document for us where you identify where the weaknesses are in these processes. You know, some of that discussion we had in Pretoria and what your possible solutions are. For example, information we receive from municipalities on waste, information we receive from Department of Transport on whatever, there we don't have any control, we don't have any say over it, it's not being verified by Stats South Africa. So this information, we have to find a new process. We will engage with the Department of Transport to see that the right information is being collected, and then to see whether we can get a process to go through Stats South Africa so that it gets verified. On local government, you know, we can set the norms, and it's, you know, those, you know what I'm trying to say. So a summary of where the weaknesses are and how we can possibly deal with it. Included in that is this misalignment of cycles you're raising. You see, the one thing we can't change the dates of the Millennium Development Goals, because that's an international that's been set. So we have to change our other cycles around that. So I want you to come with a proposal to say, Millennium Development Goals, we report like this. Therefore, we'll have to realign our state of environment to not to say that the five-year period will start on X date and end on X date, so that we realign it. And to do that, our biodiversity assessment must be ready by this date, etc. So, if you can, so on the weaknesses and how to strengthen this process, you give us a document on that, okay? Secondly, I would want you to see if you can't get an update on this page 15 on what local government spends. This is in 207. So I think we need, you see, we're going to engage Minister. She couldn't come to our previous meeting. I spoke to her yesterday. She still wants to come to the committee. There are issues we want to engage on her. But the one thing we want to engage on is what local government is spending on water and on environment. We want to, and what, how can we strengthen that process? Now, this will help if we can get updated information on this, how much they're spending on it, because then we've got a basis from which we can start. Also, we want to talk to Treasury then about these things. So if these two things, you can get updates for us, okay, on that. The second thing I want you to do is what I've already mentioned. There's three areas we probably have to have hearings. They're all on our program, but which we may. The one is the waste one we've discussed. Secondly, we've already agreed as a committee we need to look at EIAs, because this process here will be strengthened if you have a proper EIA system, but also people are complaining about the EIA system. So we wanted to see what the challenges are in the EIA. So I want you also to sit, whoever in your department, sit down with Chileka, and we must spell out who it is we have to talk about and ask to come and give inputs on the EIA, okay? And then the thirdly, I want to make Ma Jane's heart happy. I really think from our oversight visits and so on, we must have a proper briefing from the working four the working for water and so on, so that we can try and strengthen that arm of our work. Because if we can look at all these things, it will help a lot if we've got strong working for water units, more money is spent on it, because by them doing the work they're doing, some of this stuff will start increasing, getting better. And as we heard today, they're also a source of information for the department. So they start, I mean, they're on the ground. In those rural areas Peter's talking about, the department's not there. But working for water is there, working for firework, they are there. So they become our eyes and ears to get information back as well. So I really think we should have a complete input on the working for and what are their objectives and so on, and see if we don't want to actually look at other objectives that should be added. For example, information gathering, etc., etc. So those three areas for public hearings, maybe in the fourth term and in the beginning of next year, we should start preparing for. Chileka, you should meet with the department on those three, if the committee members are able. So we'll prioritize those three areas for public hearings and so on, so we can strengthen stuff. Okay, I think that's a good help. The issue that the general had raised about us engaging, I think we'll take on that responsibility as a committee. When the next report comes out, I think it's important for us to engage and get those other committees here so that we can oversee this process. It's not working when it sits in an office somewhere who's not dealing with the issues actually, because they've got other things to deal with. So I think we'll take on board what the general has said. General, you wanted to add something?
Yes, Chairperson, I wanted to add something. Perhaps you have already tackled this one, because I've been busy with the defense for quite some time. This one relates to the green jobs and also the issues around carbon tax, carbon credits. Are you beginning to develop a paper around that? I ask you this question because if we're talking about climate change, when the report is submitted end of November by UN, they will be saying so many companies throughout the world have claimed the monies in the Global Fund for carbon credits. But in South Africa, when I talk to some business people, they don't have a clue. So which means there is a lack of awareness on the part of some of the companies who would voluntarily, because it's not possible currently. So added to that would be for the department to possibly come back next time, brief us, if you have not already briefed the committee. Do we have, for instance, a carbon check company which have been accredited by UN in order to assist the state in assessing the individual companies? Lastly, new motor cars, I think they are being taxed now. Are you monitoring that fund with the Department of Treasury? Have you submitted what plans can you do to retrieve that money in order to plow it back to the environment? So, but I'm sure if you align it with green jobs, reduction of emissions, maintenance of this river, you need to package it nicely when you go to National Treasury so that you claim that man. Otherwise, it will end up buying weapons, which we don't need.
I'll just on the issue, they'll answer them. On the issue of the taxes and the green jobs and so on, we have, of course, had public hearings around the green paper, and we're busy doing a report about it, but also in the meantime, we've heard from the department. They've already, because of the public hearings, they're already changing the green paper quite substantially. Because of the public hearings, they're doing that. And that report of ours will also be finalized. So maybe what will be good is when we finish our report on it, you have a look and see if these issues have been fully covered. If not, we can clearly cover them there. But that's where we've looked at the matter quite substantially. On the carbon tax, though, Treasury has had separate hearings on them. So although we in the Green Paper talk about it and we support it and so on, the details of that we haven't yet. We'll have to come and get an input from Treasury to let us know. So maybe before we do our report, we should get a full briefing from Treasury to see how far they are with the carbon tax. So in the green paper, it's supported in principle, but the details are being dealt with in Treasury, which we haven't yet had input on. Want to add something to that?
Yes, Chair. I think there's also the whole issue around the work that we're doing around the green economy, where we actually have a green economy strategy, which is beyond climate change response. That talks about ecosystem services. It talks about waste management as part of the green economy, etc. And we have actually made a submission on our whole green economy strategy to Treasury for funding through the Green Fund that has been announced. Also, in terms of green jobs, there's two funds that was announced by the Minister of Finance of Treasury when he made his budget speech. The other one was the jobs fund, and we also made substantial submissions to the jobs funds around specifically green jobs for that. So there is this work around, and the two form part of each other, and the climate change response part of that. So there's a whole big piece of work that we did around the green economy generally. We are also, in terms of business, we are working very closely with business in terms of the climate response, the carbon tax consultation, etc. And we do that through organized business in the form of BUSA, the Black Management Forum, and the NBI, the National Business Initiative. So those are the three institutions that are representative of business that are involved with the work that we are doing around the incentives and the taxation issue.
Well, can I have a 5-minute break and then we'll take the input on MDGs?
Oh,
great. Charlie, you're sleeping, Charlie.
I'm a coach.
I've asked three times.
Where is my?
How, Charlie?
No, I don't need the call for you. I don't want to make trouble for you. I want to make trouble for this guy.
But of course, come and sit here and listen to what I want to know
this stuff from the youth department. Who made this one? Youth department.
I just like to know, yes?
For this photo is from here to here.
I have to look at the specific report.
I want this one to here, to this photo. It's from here to here. Right.
I haven't compiled every report, every photo in here.
No, I just asked it to you here. But I just say it's from you. You reading this one. It's a photo. It's from here to here.
Yeah.
So this one is a photo from here to here. No, I don't think so. It's a transfer in, transfer out. So how you can get a 170? How you can get a zero? I don't know. Because this one is right. This one is total amount is right. This total amount is also right. But I don't know where you get this one. Zero and a 170. How you can make this 170? How you can get it from 170?
You know, I'll have to ask the people that compiled the specific report. it might be a mistake, or it might be in terms of that this that some of these must be minuses because it's in and out.
Yeah, also these are all the order props. How can zero? I don't know. Then how can this one come to 1 7?
Okay, I think what it could mean, and I'm just now, and I might be wrong. So let me go and check, and I'll come back to you. Is that these transfers are between these systems, but that we don't transfer anything out of South Africa. So we are transferring some from the to coming to us. So I think that is that. These figures are inter-catchment, but it's inter-catchment inside the country. So we're not transferring in or out of the country. And that is why it would be zero for the total that is transferred in the country, but it won't be zero for the individual catchment. Because that catchment is transferring 80 million cubic meters into that province. This one doesn't transfer anything in. This one transfers 77 into that catchment. So I think this is for the total surface of Africa. They are between our catchments will transfer, but we don't transfer internationally. Then that figure is not necessarily wrong.
All right. So if you say how can you say out is only 170? Where is 170? Can we wrong?
It wouldn't be a total of this. We're probably sending it to Swaziland.
But I want to know where is 170 cubic meters is from, not the strongest one.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to explain is that it's not a mathematical total. It's an area total. So for this, it is a mathematical total. So this is the total for the area for the country. And this is for the total which I don't think transfer in, if we're talking about
the local
Yeah. And yes, the explanation.
Yeah. So I just say if this one, exactly this one is right, this is correct.
Yes.
234 is correct.
Yeah.
So it's from the potential for development.
Yeah.
How we can get this this potential is the development for the this amount.
No, I'll have to come back to you.
Because I like to know because this report is quite good, but I come to the detail. I want to see.
Yeah.
Now potential development for the water. Then I want to see which one is the big one. Is the stronger? Is the
Remember, we compile them, but we get the information from the different custodians.
Yeah.
We're not the custodian of water. So water
is
provided with it. So I think that's why I would need to come back to them.
Because this one is too old. It's 2006.
Yes.
This one, the minister,
yeah.
Yeah,
no, that is
why,
and that we can only do it every 5 years because otherwise
yes,
it becomes
I understand. So why is I just for
instance,
figure is I don't know where to get the 170.
Yeah, no, but I can even if
you
just provide charity, I will follow up
because
with my.
Because you this one follow is right, but the 170 where it came from 170.
Yeah, but I don't know where the 170 comes from. But I think it's not a mathematical.
No, from here.
So we need to know where it comes from.
Also from the other table or the 170, you see. Or 0170, then potential is the auto follow this one. But I want to know when is 170, how you get, because you calculated this one is right.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
All the table is, I saw this one, all the table is all.
Yeah.
I confused.
Okay. I think this one is just because it's not a mathematical
yes.
So that's
so
why
I agree for you,
yeah.
But I just say it's it's from this one,
it's
expressed, even a written answer, I don't know.
No, I would ask
but
them.
But these are water,
not
the environment.
We are the consolidators. We have the information from all the sector departments.
Yes, I agree,
Okay.
So why I didn't ask you questions now?
Okay. You're welcome to ask. I will try to find out for you.
Yes, thank you.
Problem.
Honorable. He's my bodyguard, second bodyguard. You don't talk to him. Talk to her. Huh? Yeah. No. You,
I
recognize. You say he's my second bodyguard.
Yes, I know.
No, you're supposed to want to talk to the other one. You come and then you're supposed to talk to the
boss.
So that I can address it. Hello.
Okay, I'll skip this slide because it's
just talked about the background of the MDG process, but our focus is just on ensuring environmental sustainability, which is goal 7. Then I will talk to the indicators that are under that goal that the department can report on. This is what just to indicate the characteristics of the MDGs about the time-bound goals, the quantifiable targets, just to indicate that to check whether we are indeed achieving the targets that were set. I just like to summarize the goals and the targets and the indicators. The green indicators are the ones that the department were able to report on. The other indicators are more of the service delivery, which are more of the human settlement, and as a result, this presentation that we concentrate on the black component of the indicators. Then the reason why one highlighted the proportion of fish stock within the safe biological limits was the fact that we couldn't report on the indicator in the previous cycle simply because of the unacceptability of the data and the methodology. So somehow this will also not be reflected in the presentation. So basically the presentation will look at the 5 indicators that are highlighted in green. Okay, let us go to confirm. This is just basically to talk about, what institutional responses to the targets that are under the millennium, the target 7A and 7B in terms of the Millennium Development Goals, just to indicate that the department is expected to take the reasonable steps to prevent pollution and ecological degradation, to promote conservation, and secure ecological sustainable development, basically responding to the constitution and making sure that we meet the targets that are set within the MDGs. And just to also indicate the level of the commitment or the efforts that the department has done in terms of responding to the MDG, we have various policies and acts that were developed and implemented to protect and enhance the environment. That's just a list of some of the policies and the acts that we then in responding to the targets and the indicators that are reflected in the MDG. This is the efforts that the department tried to do. So then I will quickly zoom in terms of the current status, the targets and the action in relation to each indicator. So I'll talk about the indicator in terms of how the trends of a specific indicator and what is it that we're doing as a department to respond to the challenges that we're facing. The first indicator is the carbon dioxide emission. We looked at, when we compiled the 2010 report, we looked at the carbon dioxide emission in total, where we looked at the where it is expressed in gigatons, yes. And then we also looked at the carbon emission per capita, and then that one is measured in terms of the metric tons. Then we also look at the carbon emission per $1 GDP that is expressed in kilograms. So when we compare, when we did the reporting, the baseline was 1994, and then we looked at the data that was available, depending on the indicator, the data that was available at that time, the latest data. For some of the indicators, we find that the latest data that we used was 2007 instead of 2010, with the expectation that since we were in the 2010, then the data was expected to be for the 2010. But because of the challenges in the methodologies and the availability of some of the information, we only used the earliest available data at the time.
How do you read that? Does that mean that although in those 16 years, our emissions increased, but if you work it out per capita decreased, and CO emissions per dollar is decreased? Yeah, you read that label. Okay. Go ahead.
And then we also have the target. I think the target for the carbon emission was the 34% reduction of business as usual by 2020 and 42% reduction by 2025. Then we also had the indicator in terms of whether there's a possibility for the country to achieve the target or not achieve. So for that specific indicator, which is carbon dioxide emission, when we did the analysis, it was confirming that there is a possibility for the country to be able to achieve the 34% reduction by 2020 and 42% by 2025. And then the steps that we are taking as a country in responding to the findings that were noted as a result of that indicator is that we do have the long-term mitigation scenario in place, where we had then the scientists doing the understanding and the analysis of where we are and where we want to be as a country, and that will assist us in guiding us in terms of putting in place the programs and the policies for us to be able to
do. Diagram here. Is this the newest one that you looked at?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's the new one after the public hearings we had, and he came up with a new. The stripes here are confusing. Why are those stripes on the right? Why is that gap? These versions of all those are colored. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. It's just small little different. I don't know why.
The work that the department is doing in terms of the greenhouse gases inventory, we've just then compiled the second national communication. So that will also assist us in understanding better our way forward. The climate change policy. So that basically is the work that we are doing in response to the carbon dioxide emission, in trying to make sure that then we are indeed there is a possibility for us to achieve the target. And then the next indicator is the consumption of organic substances. I think in the SOE, the state of the environment presentation, I touched on this. Basically, we're trying to reach the target where we're saying that we need to freeze the ozone depleting substances by 2013 and phase them out by 2040. So on the categories, we're looking at those substances are things like your hydrofluorocarbons, your bromine, your methyl bromide. So those are the things that then we're saying, maybe let me start with the hydrofluorocarbons. We're saying the baseline in 1994 was 205 is expressed in tons, and then in 2010, the status we used the info that was available in 2008, and then that shows a bit of an increase in a sense that we are getting to where it's an increase. We're working towards then the freezing and the phasing out, the positive trend in a way, even though it doesn't show much of the difference. And then when you look at the methyl bromide in 1994, it's also expressed in tons. We were sitting at 601.2, and then in 2008, then it was 225.9. Also, for the methyl bromide, the target today is looking at phasing it out by 2015. Obviously, then there is a bit of a concern, and hence we're saying whether achievable or not. We're saying we likely to can achieve that, but then that would mean that we would have to put
methyl bromide. Out of last one. It's the top two. So that's why I'm concerned all the days I've got to go to the
And then what is it that the department has done in terms of the consumption of organ nutrition substances? We have the organ nutrition substance regulation in place, and we also have the report and the database that talks about the organ nutrition substances consumption. So for us understanding the background in terms of how far we're doing as a country in terms of those substances, it's one way of then trying to achieve the targets of phasing them out and freezing the other steps too by 2013 and 2014. And then the proportion, the next indicator is on the proportion of the threatened and marine area protected. There we looked at the terrestrial, the figures there are expressed in percentages, and then the marine also. This is one of the indicators that we're fortunate to use the information that was available by 10%.
The bigger number is actually better in this percentage, because you're protecting. If it was only 5% protected, it's now 6% protected. So a bigger number is better.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Yes, it's protecting
exactly.
More, yes.
So here you actually want to go high and not low.
Yes.
Okay. Go to 9%,
14%. And
14%.
And the
third,
we've got
the antibiotic
care,
that's definitely possible. Okay. Okay, I could maybe come in here to say that the 9% of the ratio was actually also increased to 14 through the CBC meeting that took place earlier this year, but I don't know if they're going to change it. Well, but most of these targets are built on the International Convention, and the Convention on Biodiversity have actually increased the terrestrial to be the same as marine to 40. And we are not likely to meet that target. We're likely to meet the 9% target, but we would not be likely to meet the 14% target.
In terms of what is it that we are doing, the steps we are taking in terms of that specific indicator, we do have the Environmental Management Protected Areas Act, the National Protected Areas Database. I think in the previous meeting where we presented about all the databases within the department, we had a discussion around that. And also the National Biodiversity Framework, which provides for an integrated and coordinated and uniform approach to biodiversity management. I think this links very well with the points that we raised in the state of the environment about the concern around the biodiversity. So there is a framework that is assisting us or guiding us in terms of how to then target the challenge that was raised in there. The last point was just to emphasize the fact that the National Biodiversity Framework forms the blueprint of the conservation of the biodiversity for South Africa, because we know that it is a challenge and a key concern for us.
Remember here, we took an input in Pretoria on the sensitive mine area, and the input you gave us is that there are three conservation areas which the department has been pushing and has been blocked by mining. Now, we expect these things, our view in the committee is that these things must be accelerated to happen if it can't be sorted out in the field level too. Because we can't just leave it forever. I mean, if environment comes up with three areas they want to add to conservation and another department blocks, the only way you're going to resolve it is to go to happen. So we want to, I mean, if you want to achieve these targets of 9 and 40%, you can only do it if you increase the protected areas. Now, if one department is blocking, then clearly we're not going to achieve it. So you've got the support of this committee to escalate this matter and to get a resolution around at least those three areas that's been blocked by mining. I can't remember one of them was, I think, in Angola to extend one park in Angola. others, I can't remember. Do you? Anyone remember what the other two were? They were being blocked, Blind River. The Glider River. I think Glider River is another one that was being blocked. And maybe there's one in Richard Bay or something. So, okay, I don't know. But in any case, what I'm just saying is we want to meet these deadlines. We can't, like we've got an input to hear that the areas we're trying to extra protect the areas being blocked by a department are not resolved, okay? So please, we don't have to go into detail there again, but those things must be resolved. Next one?
The fourth indicator that we looked at was the number of species threatened with extinction. This, the category is expressed in numbers. So the target is to reduce the number of species threatened with extinction and looking at the baseline.
Is
the
threefold. Good.
But for some reason, when the analysis was done, there is a possibility. I think through the outcomes and delivery agreement, there are some activities or programs working in trying to address the challenge that we're facing here. Right.
What is the main threat to the
extinction? Yeah, I think it's basically in terms of the demand on land transformation and development. So the supporting ecosystems of the individual species are under threat, and that then leads to the extinction of the species. There are some that are, there's different reasons for it. The one is the ecosystem threat, and the other one is exploitation. So, for example, if we talk about cycads specifically, it's exploitation that is leading. And we've lost part of that 2577 there is that we've lost three species of cycads only. So I think there is that, and then there's also a big trend in the national biodiversity assessment in terms of amphibians and butterflies, one of those lepidoptera, where it is mostly related to ecosystem destruction. There is emerging things that could potentially be related to climate change, but it's not yet able to scientifically confirm that. Exploitation and ecosystem transformation is a big thing.
And the possibility of the taking of certain labels of those could be another thing.
That we would come that of ecosystem transformation.
Okay.
And then the steps that we are taking as a country in responding to.
Actually, remember that we should take an input of that. Is this Sandy? We should put that on our program. That looks huge.
We do have the National Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan in place. Our National Biodiversity Act is an act which lists all the threatened species and those needing protection as reflected in there. So with the understanding that then we will be able to do more work in trying to protect that. And we also have the Protected Species Regulation, where we then regulating the movement of and subsequent activities involving listed wildlife species on the national basis. So hoping that through that tool we will be able to can respond to the issues that were raised in the previous slide. And then also there is a national park expansion strategy in place that assists us in protecting habitat for species. The issues around the private and communal owned land as conservation areas. So the understanding is through this work we will somehow find the possibility of then achieving the target as outlined in the previous slide. And then through the reporting process, there was an opportunity for us as a country to domesticate some of the indicators, trying government priority areas and try to filter in the indicators that we feel are of national importance. And the number of legally designated landfill sites was one of the indicators that is not necessarily part of the MDG indicator or target. But then as a council, we felt this is an important indicator for us to look into and report on. And hence, then, under the category, we would have just expressing that as a number, but then we didn't have any baseline. And the target there, we're saying that we need to increase the number of permitted landfill sites by 80% by 2015. And the target is set out in the outcome 10 delivery estimate. And then through that process also we would find the mechanism to can get to understand the progress in terms of that specific target. But by 2010 when we did the reporting, the state has indicated that the number of legally designated landfill sites were 817. But as indicated then that it's a domesticated
and to not have any new landfills because you want to deal with waste and salt and encourage the recycling, etc. So we, this is an area that is very closely, and the guidelines compiled both from a water perspective and from all of the other environmental issues around it, and we work very closely with the Department of Water Affairs on landfill sites.
Exactly giving more details, especially on page 5.
especially on page 5, where you are listing what steps are being taken beyond food emission. I'm having a situation here to summarize this, but we don't know exactly what the culture is. For instance, you take the code. Is South Africa moving towards selling or supplying South African community clean coal as we do when we export the coal? Is South Africa moving towards introducing catalytic converters in the motor cars we have as part of reducing all those issues? And if you are going to arm your minister during the ICC discussion, you should be saying main countries in this category, and we have already spoken to the owners of this, and they are complying. By such and such a date, they will meet the target. But not just generalize. We are not going to get anywhere on this. We are a host country, we must lead by example.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's regarding for this report report, we get a little thick one. Yeah? I think this one from the page 34, I just like to see this thick document. Yeah. What is the table
thick?
This document, MDD.
Oh,
yeah, we're talking about MDD. Yeah? This is table 1.8, yeah? For regarding this. Page 34 for table 1.8. For Norway, we see that it's a table for 2007-2008. It is for Norway from the 645 to come down to the 613. I don't understand why.
Are you talking about 34?
Yes.
Table
1.8.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, this document is for all MDGs.
Yes,
so
we
don't
discuss
anything. The table you're talking about now doesn't fall under this department.
Oh, I see.
So we've given you the whole document.
So
only the environment issues we can ask for this department.
Okay.
Only right. Goal 7.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Then.
Thank you, sir.
In terms of the provide that information again. And in our green paper, and specifically the second communication on climate change, the UNFCCC communication, we do indicate and attribute who are the guilty parties. We say energy, transport so much, we actually do break it down in terms of the sectors that are responsible. And we also talk about our process with, again, BUSA, NDI, and the Black Management Forum in terms of actions to be taken in terms of meeting the targets for us to meet the global target of 2 degrees. So that is in there. And I mean, we're having an expo if the Treasury will give us the money, which we think they must, where we will be showcasing South Africa's climate change response at the summit, where these industries, governments, NGOs, can come and demonstrate South Africa's response to the climate change challenge because of adaptation and mitigation. In terms of the waste management and whether we will be there on all sensitive to provide support and want to do away with landfills to corporates and small businesses, entrepreneurs that want to do recycling. Shamar, I don't know if you want to respond to it, but I think in terms of the waste management strategy, those are typical things that we are doing in terms of what would we do to address recycling. If recycling needs to be the second step in the hierarchy of you reduce, what do we do to incentivize recycling and to assist recycling so that you can reduce the waste to the landfill site? And I think it is addressing the waste management strategy, which I think the hearing would very much be focusing on the waste management strategy because it addresses the entire hierarchy. And what are we as a department and as a sector doing for each step of the waste management hierarchy, all the way from reduced use, recycle, energy, harvesting, and landfill as the last option. So there's work being done. Currently, you've heard the very sad story of BSA back. We briefed you on that a couple of months ago. And I think currently that is the lessons learned from that process in terms of how do you optimize the money that you have to facilitate instead of having 14 buyback centers to multiply the impact that you can have. So these are things that we are looking at.
That is a sad example of how not to do this. Don't go to Nedlac and ask them how to solve problems. Because Nedlac will give you labor and business to run a company. And then it collapses. That's exactly the model that we never should follow again. Okay. I think this is a much better report than we got the first time. It's really concentrating on the things that we have to and to keep updating. Please, as a part of the remember, when you give reports to anyone, on Millennium Goals, for example, to update the report. And those reports, I think, should also be given to the committee. We should know what is happening about ongoing reporting on the committee. In any case, it will be on our program anyway. But the point is, we don't just want a year when we have to do it. We want to have ongoing issues. And then, as I said, I think we should add a slide here when we deal with that one indicator to deal with responsibility. I also, this parliament is drafting some report on the NDGs and so on. I've already said on behalf of this committee, I will have nothing to do with that report if the information doesn't emanate from this department and has been processed by this committee. I mean, there's no good having researchers sitting somewhere and researching things that are not the things. I mean, why are we having these hearings if this doesn't form the basis of those reports? So I must say that if the parliamentary groupings ask you to assist in some, please do so, because then it should be in line with what it means. I think they probably will work through Shireen if they do work through anyone. They haven't until now. But this morning, for example, after I complained yesterday, they quickly now said that she must start looking at. So I want this stuff that we are processing here and we discuss. Those are the things that must be in Parliament's report. It can't be things that the circuit. won't associate this committee with that again. So if you do get called on, please assist so that we get the right information. All right, that's the end of that report. And we have a quick last report that we need time, which, as I said, is this report, but the updated one, which the minister hasn't yet approved. So they're giving us a, is there any media here? All right. So everyone, PNG. PNG, are you PNG? I think you mustn't report on this stuff, okay? Because this stuff hasn't been approved by the minister. It's just an indicator for us what is possibly going to come. All right? Thank you very much.